The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
The last time we did a podcast, we named it Elon Musk Should Listen to This Podcast, right? And it was about this incredible inventor, scientist, Kenneth Welch Jr., who has developed a way to use water to harness energy and create energy inland in places that would never have clean water and power. You could take it anywhere. It's an underground pool. I don't think that I even understood.
I don't think, yeah, because a lot of people are going to be thinking, well, we've had hydropower forever. I mean, think of Hoover Dam. Yeah. But it's different from Hoover Dam. It's you can take a small pool and create a large amount of energy.
Yes. And you put them underground. And he's just one of the most incredible inventors ever. They've submitted this for a Nobel Peace Prize. This is going to change the world.
And he's going to be on today's podcast? Is that what we're...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So we have this incredible scientist who's developing some, you know, technology that's going to change the world.
I'm going to tell you that, I mean, you know, there's people that are listening to his podcast, the consultants, and he's also one of the men who's behind offshore drilling. This is an oil man,
Now you know these offshore drillers by first name only.
Yeah, I do. Okay. I know
George. We're homies now. Right?
Wow,
homies.
Guys. Buckle up. This is going to be a good episode.
But he
here.
Said, because, you know, I told him about the water problem in Arizona. I said, man, if you could talk to Senator Mark Kelly, and if people are really serious about sustainable energy, it would change Arizona, it would change Phoenix, and just the entire state. He said, oh, you know what we could do? We could bring water from the Sea of Cortez. You got clean water and you got energy to take care of it all. Mm. It's crazy. I know.
Think about it. This guy's been doing pipelines for oil companies for
30 years.
I don't know about the Sea of Cortez, though, bro.
It's not as far as you think because Rocky Point's not that far from here.
Canada.
I don't know where that's at, but I'm saying Sea of Cortez. But last time we let a bunch of Cortezes and Spaniards come over here. No. I don't know, dog. So
no, Anthony.
I don't know about that.
I agree. But I know what you're saying. No, this is the water. So they could take seawater and make it drinkable. I know it sounds wild, but remember, and you'll hear Kenneth Welch talk about this because I ask him, what about the non-believers? He brings up the Wright brothers. Remember, people thought they were crazy. They were made to leave America. The people, when he invented the car, the Fords, this is the devil contraption. This is the future of energy. So go ahead and listen. Oh, and we have to talk about Jessica. She's their new spokesperson. How am I going to forget her? I mean, that's the whole reason for the Deep Blue Sea Gala. So here's the podcast now. Turn it up.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
I want to welcome you, Ken, and the newest face, Miss Jessica. Oh my gosh. Congratulations. How are you feeling?
Can you pinch me? Okay, I'm here. It's honestly surreal. You know, if you've read the story, and I know you have, the press release from, you know, to meeting them at the Four Seasons, showing up and actually working in the event, to everything that's led up to tonight, is a divine connection. So I feel humbled. I'm very humbled. You know, this is a new role for me to step in, and I am a heart-centered leader, and I am just following his direction.
She's a superstar.
And can you have the planet in your heart and your mind when you began this? How many years ago?
43.
Yeah, 43 years ago, you wanted to create something that would change the world. Now you have.
Well, I've already created 29 things that have changed
okay,
the world.
Okay, well, this is 30.
We're doing nine more in this scenario.
Yeah.
So we're very excited about this. You know, the water technologies, the transmission technologies, the transportation technologies that we can do using water.
Right.
The sewage systems that we can do, you know, purification systems, in addition to hydroelectric power through our wave technology.
And all being chemical free. That's what blows me away.
Jessica, when you say that, the reason I think Ken gravitated toward you is because you're able to explain this in a way. Because Ken talks
a
and
genius.
It's
hard
all
to
these,
understand a genius.
Yeah,
sometimes.
It is so hard. It's so hard to understand a genius. And you there's also genius in simplicity. I've always said that you're able to explain things in a way and convey the message in a way that everyone can understand. Why did you decide to jump on board with Ken?
Well,
and
honestly, you know, I showed up at the Four Seasons. I was working the event, and I had told them about the nonprofit, and they asked me a little bit
Say the name of it real quick.
Just in Time to Save a Life.
Google it. everybody listening, Google
Thank
it.
Thank you. Okay. Yes. It is for suicide prevention, and I intend to help change the way that suicide looks for us. I lost my dad and brother 5 years ago, and he's so in alignment with helping me with that mission. And, you know, you have to have food, shelter, and clothing. Those are like your basic needs, your basic necessities. And when he brought it to my attention that it's not just the United, it's a global problem, I was like, okay, I'm on board with that. And I would do anything to help save someone's life. And
this
that's
saves
why
many
I
partnershiped
with Ken is exactly and bringing running water and power to parts of the world that don't have it. I mean, we just had somebody come up to us and say, "Hey, I'm from Ecuador, and this means so much to me because not the infrastructures that we have now, but the infrastructures that we're going to see, you know, and we're seeing, you know, movement in the industry, people, you know, going more green and electric car, but the grid can't support it." And I don't want to dive too deep into that, but I am just like, honestly, I'm very honored and humbled to be here. And I hope that I can articulate and send out the message.
Well, this technology supplements our grid and also brings, right, like you said, water and energy to parts of the world that not only have never seen it, might never see it without the technology. Right.
We can take that brackish water that they have. We can desalinate it using our system while creating power, while creating pumping systems. So this technology is a package that is totally self-sustainable for any water movement systems and transportation systems to transmit it to those that need it in faraway places.
I wish people could see you because Ken gets excited. He starts moving mic around.
My passion goes off.
It goes crazy.
You should see his dance moves, honestly.
Oh, I know. You should see the dance moves.
Have you seen the dance moves? They're awesome.
We have.
And like, I just want to add one more thing to that because have you toured the wave facility?
No, not yet.
Okay.
I will.
Oh, my goodness. So multiple wave pools, when they're powered together, and they can be above surface or subterranean, they can power small towns and large cities. And I just got so excited about that. I'm like, why am I not already seeing this? Like, why?
Exactly.
That's
it's coming, though,
why.
Ken. Don't you feel it's that it's coming?
It's all about timing.
Right.
Okay? First, we needed to develop the technologies.
But it's just genius.
And then we needed the scientific part of it to be certified.
And then it was tested by Texas A&M, by third parties. Right. I was impressed.
And then we had to have the engineered breakdown and bring it into the real world concept. And we're going after a Nobel Prize for what we've done in the engineering sector of all this. And we're getting ready to launch this the first part of next year. We're going to roll out our technologies for the whole world. And when you talk about how much energy, when we're 1 square mile, whether we're under the ground or above the surface, all this is onshore now. This is not offshore.
I know, which changes the game. Yeah, because you're controlling the water versus trying to harness wind or
right,
whatever
the
else, you're
forces.
Controlling this.
And by going, going under the ground, we can also stop the evaporation and the losses. You know, 1 billion gallons a day from a nuclear power plant turning into steam, which has to be really clean, fresh water.
Right.
You know how much water that takes away from that we can drink? And people don't realize that all these systems, cooling ponds and everything that's connected to our natural gas plants, we're not wasting this water. A one-time fill can last years for us.
So, wow.
So, you know, and the other side of it is 1 square mile is an equivalent of one of our largest nuclear power plants. So we're basically cold fusion.
We're talking about other parts of the world, but we're very good friends with a lot of the Native American tribes here, and a lot of those places don't have water. And it would be amazing to bring that to them here in our own country as well as serve the planet.
Yeah, when we talk about the impoverished nations, they're here in America.
That's right.
They're in Europe. They're in every part of the
world. That's right.
They're not just in the third world country.
Right.
But the bulk of them are. And but we need to focus on all of them.
I agree 100%. Go ahead, Jessica.
I think what you were saying is, and I feel like, you know, everyone who's listening to this is, you know, harnessing the power of waves and converting that into energy
It almost sounds impossible.
Within the ocean, right? You were talking about within the ocean, right? The destructible forces of nature don't allow that, right?
Right.
And so when
that's why solar and wind are so hard.
And they don't run 24/7 like
exactly.
his does. And when they decided, his engineers decided to take this idea and said, what if we put this in a controlled environment?
It's a standing harmonic wave.
Right.
We could set a wave height of 3 foot, 5 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot, and it would run 24/7, 365.
And chemical free. I can't get over that.
Chemical free.
Ken, what about the non-believers? People that are just don't understand it. Well,
there's always non-believers. There's just always. The first nuclear power plant was filled with non-believers.
Right.
The first dam was filled with non-believers.
The first car, the first plane.
The Wright brothers, all of it. I mean, the Wright brothers, what a story. 38 years, they fly at Kitty Hawk. Our scientists are there in America. They said it was a hoax. France says, we'll take it. It's not a hoax. And, of course, we go to France. They start building their plane. War breaks out.
And we want it back now.
And we call the tech back into the United States to exploit it. So, you know, there's always non-believers. You know, the thing is, come be a non-believer when you're watching it operate. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm excited because I know this next year is your year. It's the world's year.
There it is.
It's the world's year.
I mean, we've spent a lot of time, a lot of effort, and we've tried to bring all the elements together to walk this out on a planet in the most professional, most beautiful way with the most wonderful spokeswoman we could ever find to talk to the hearts of the world and to bring the foundations together, which is what we were doing at the last one, and her foundation, and that was Steve Kynes Foundation, Argyll, and bring these foundations together to do real change, not just little projects, but major projects that will take care of millions and millions of people. You know, I mean, $15 billion will build a power plant. That's about what it costs for a nuclear power plant.
Right.
We can build a 6-gigawatt plant for $15 billion. That's enough power to power the entire city of Houston and the surrounding vicinity. So when you talk about power, that's a lot of power.
And truly sustainable.
Yes.
Power.
Yes. Resourceful and responsible. That's the thing.
It's water.
It's about being responsible and
yes.
for our future.
And if it breaks,
we have to weigh out the cost of
it
where
really
we're
is.
Going.
No, it's not a dam. It doesn't wipe out the town below.
That's right.
It's the cost of our future.
We're not water this way. The deepest pond is 30 feet, and it's a pool. And so, you know.
It's a pool of life. It really is. It's a pool of life.
You got it. You got to see it.
In times of emergency, we can actually turn the valves and take part of that pond and pump it to the city and put it into the city pressure lines and keep giving you fresh water.
Now that is amazing.
There
and
is
that's
a lot
life-changing.
Of things that come with this technology. It is a package, and there's about 35 different applications that it can be applied to, and it can all be designed for all of them to function interactive. So
I want to thank you both, and I want to just say this. I can't wait to look back and say, remember when we were introducing this to everybody? And it's
just
every day. It's not even a big deal anymore.
You know,
that's what I'm looking forward to.
I'm so very proud of you. You know, from the last time we met and you did our interview and then you went on and you started talking and you were talking.
And
right
we have. We want the world to know. Yes.
In the world, and you called them out.
Yes.
And you waited for them to come.
I did.
And they didn't come. No different than they didn't come. Because they would have to face the true fixes.
That's right.
And we're not going to stop.
Thank you both so much. Jessica, it's a pleasure to meet you. I can't wait till next time. We'll be touring the facility and we'll do this
jumping
again.
Jumping in pools.
Yeah, jumping in pools of water.
Your hair won't turn green. There's no chlorine.
We're actually preparing all those types of things. But our biggest preparation right now is the main events. The big shows.
Trade shows.
Trade
conventions.
Shows,
right?
Of the largest industry groups next year, and we're going to do something so special by bringing in the prodigy singers and talent and put on a Broadway show simultaneously to tell the world, here's what we have.
Pay attention.
Pay attention.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. You're amazing.
Woo!
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.
Okay, George, here we are. It's been a while since June, since we spoke last. How are you, sir?
Good, Dana. How are you?
Doing well. I'm very excited. From the time, you know, ESI, the summit launch, to today. Where are we? How do you feel about the progress that you've made with this technology and explaining it and launching it?
Well, where we are right now is putting together conversations with local governments. Like, for example, we are looking forward to the opportunity to speak to the people in the city of Houston.
Nice.
And, you know, we're looking at, you know, what's the value proposition that we would bring to a major metropolis, right? And especially one who has aspirations of being, you know, this carbon net zero or sustainable. You know, they use these words in their policy headlines. And, you know, I want to see all that actually come true.
You want to see it come to fruition, not just because there's ideas, but there's no real plan to make it happen.
Well, that's what I see again and again. I mean, I've run into some people who, you know, represent some of these committees, or they're the head of these think tanks and things, and, you know, they can give their mission statement, but what's the action plan? And they'll say, and you sort of get a strange look, say, well, you know, we're looking into this and we're looking into that. And I said, well, look, you know, can we get a few minutes and I can give you some ideas? I think that if I wanted to make sustainable the city of Houston from the city of Houston government point of view, you know, the mayor and all of his jurisdiction, it would be I could overhaul your water treatment systems. I could overhaul all your pumping and water delivery and transportation. I could provide you a standalone in-house source of electrical power. You could take every fuel-burning vehicle that carries a city license plate on it, and flip it over to electrical,
make it all work.
Yeah, and you wouldn't put any extra burden on the grid. In fact, your own in-house power system, which you could put, you know, under the basement of downtown, you'd have
hidden
enough,
away.
You'd have, yeah, out of sight, out of mind, but you would have enough surplus electricity after consuming all that you needed for yourself to keep the lights on in the courthouse and the jail and run the garbage trucks, etc.
Listen to what you're saying. Do people have a hard time believing that? That's.
I don't know. It just takes a little bit of imagination.
It's here. The technology is real. How do you make them learn that? How do you? Because it's hard to. Well, it's just wind and solar. It's hard to unlearn what you've been told for decades, literally.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's some reprogramming, I guess. I mean, if it's deeper rooted than that, if it's not just a matter of let me shift your attention over here and. Change
well,
your level of
money,
awareness.
It's also no. You're right. It's.
Well,
you know,
the thing is, there's a lot of money at stake when it comes to changing over of power systems. I mean, if you look at the level of traction that oil and gas have in power generation, you know, and then you would say that wind and solar were swimming upstream, right?
Right.
But now they've got themselves entrenched to some degree. I mean, those technologies are specifically called out in a number of government policies, which. Actually, I believe it's some kind of a conflict of interest, because when it comes to free enterprise and the best energy technology in the market, you know, the one that produces most efficiently with the least environmental impact and delivers the best price point to its investors should be the one that wins the game.
There you
not
go.
Not the one that can attract the most, what do you call it, tear-jerking subsidies
right.
to save the planet with pieces of equipment that aren't even biodegradable.
This is real sustainable energy using water with real sustainable materials and all of the above. I just want to ask, do you feel like, you mentioned oil and gas, very powerful industry, do you feel like there might be pushback, honestly?
Well, I would have to say...
Well, you come from that industry,
well,
so...
I mean, out of my 30 years in energy, I spent... you know, almost 25 in oil
right.
and gas. So, I mean, I'm speaking from an informed point of view. And, you know, there's certainly, anybody that thinks that oil and gas is going to go away is not thinking with a clear mind.
Well, we're holding mics.
We need it. We need it.
Makeup
for,
and everything. Yeah, I know, this, I mean, that's a whole other conversation.
We need it for, I mean, the oil products alone, okay?
Right.
But when it comes to using fossil fuel, for creating electricity, our technology can displace all of it.
We would be truly energy independent. Really? You feel comfortable saying that?
Yeah. Yeah, because the amount of oil and natural gas that would be freed up in the marketplace by using our technology as a substitution for coal-fired and natural gas and nuclear power generation. It just means that the demand for hydrocarbons, you know, in the energy space is reduced. I mean, we take a market share. It's not. It would be ridiculous for us to say that. Yeah, we'll bump everybody out. That's just dumb.
No, okay? Well, of course not.
You know, there's some places where solar makes sense. There's some places where wind makes sense. There's some places where a carbon capture outfitted, you know, natural gas fired power plant is the best thing for right there. So to say that we're going to take, you know, a reasonable market share, 20, 30%, whatever.
This is supplementing what we need, though. I mean, the grid needs help.
The scalability and the portability of what we bring, you know, makes it a good fit in a lot of instances. And because, you know, the key factor in what we've got is the amount of power that it takes to run our system relative to the amount of power that we can tap out of it. Okay, this is where people have a hard time understanding, you know, and I mean, because I can see over unity performance that pushes 200 times power out relative to power in.
Here comes the big question. When does this become the norm? When is it accepted? Do you have a timeline in your head? How long before you really get people to understand what it is that we're talking about? Because it is amazing, and it is a matter of unlearning a lot of what we believe.
Well, you know, people that are listening to my voice right now might be saying to themselves, listen to this guy, he's full of it, you know, but honestly, I mean...
He's really not. You can Google. We've got receipts.
Yeah, But the reality of it is simply a matter of education. I mean, 3 years ago, I didn't know anything about any of this.
You know, and here you are.
Yeah, and here I am. I mean, I was actually working in renewable energy technology bundling, you know, and I was surveying everything that the market had to offer in marine renewable energy. So whether it was tidal power or flowing currents or, you know, wave power or, you know, all this... And even wind. Now, wind really isn't ocean energy because wind is everywhere, but because you stick it on top of an offshore platform, suddenly it's marine energy, it's not.
Yeah.
But the point is simply that becoming a purveyor of all renewable technologies and screening for which ones make the best sense economically, using all the appraisal tools that I learned working in the oil and gas business, because you look at oil and gas companies have billions and billions of dollars a year that they spend in capital to develop new assets. And that has to be an informed decision. And there's a process to that. And so using the same economic evaluation, risk analysis, and looking at the opportunity and the benefit, I ran those same scorecards across Mr. Welch's wave energy technology, and it absolutely blew my mind. I couldn't believe it.
That's why you're here.
And that's why I'm here.
And that's why when people listen to this, they're going to do the research and they're going to fight for this. I know it. And hopefully you get to the right person that makes it happen sooner than later. They're calling you. They're making sounds to me. You got to get in there. I know that. Thank you. Until next time.
Dana, thank you very much. It's absolutely my pleasure to see you again.
So good to see you, too. I can't wait. We'll see each other again soon.
I'm looking forward to it. Thank
you.
All
right. Thank you.
All right.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.
Steve, how are you feeling? It's been a while. I think it was June.
It was June.
Last event.
At the Four Seasons in Houston.
Now, from then to today, where are we with the technology, explaining it, and moving it forward so that people can understand it as well as we do now?
Well, you know, in Houston, we announced bringing the waves to land. You know, we marketed that the East Coast and the Sea Dog Carousel was a way to go.
Right.
And we figured out we could bring waves to the shore, announce that to the world. We're here today. It's the Deep Blue Sea Gala. My boat came in, and my captain, you know, we've been on a world tour for 20 years. We've been, you know, from Tahiti down to Sydney on its own bottom. We've been up the west coast of Africa from the Azores.
Doing a little fishing.
Fishing and seeing history, meeting and greeting the people. Such wonderful people through those things. But it's also a shame to see, you know, when the sun goes down, there's no lights.
Oh, man.
and they're not wearing any shoes. The kids have nothing to write with. And my captain, Randy Hotchkiss, is, you know, that's in his wheelhouse. He cares for kids, doesn't like to see this. And so he took and busted his butt to get my boat here to be part of this corporate machine and be part of us and be a solution. And he has some great stories that, you know, if the mic's put in front of him, I know he'd be telling, because they're such great stories.
And there's a need for this, not only in America so that we can be truly energy efficient, yeah, but the world needs this technology.
It needs technologies. I mean, giving the water, you know, water and power to the planet for their children, so they have, you know, and their children's children, they'll have, right, you know, a better planet to live on. But as you know, like my boat travels around the world without water and power, but a little love and goodwill goes a long way.
Is this truly why you got involved, Steve, with this? Because you know that in the end it's going to change the world and make it an easier place for everybody, for humanity.
Yes, I started seeing that. I've been with this tech from the outside, being a shareholder, and then as the techs got developed, it got me interested. I ended up on a board of a company that Kenneth Welch Jr. created.
Right.
Packaged, gave it to management, and he moved on. And this was a platform out in the Gulf. And I saw how Crooked works. Got that issue straightened out, and I wasn't happy. I thought I was on the front line. I was on the A-team. And I realized, and I went up to Kenny, I want to be on the front lines. I want to help you, because I believe in this tech, 100%.
Right.
And so I've invested heavily, along with my brothers. I'm the largest single shareholder in Cargill. And Cargill's been really looking at this. So I have pledged that Cargill is going to be helping on the first field we put in.
I love it.
So
I love it.
This tech is ready. It's packaged, ready to go, and just needs to be implemented.
Real sustainable energy. Where do you see, or when do you think this will be the norm? How long is it going to take for people to really grasp what we're talking about?
You know, that's an interesting question, because this tech is so simple. It has few moving parts. On the land, you can, it's just like digging a swimming pool, a canal. You just dig out, and you know, overnight, in a very few weeks, it's very affordable. It's
well, you know, there's brilliance and simplicity.
And a liner or even concrete, and
right,
just waves bouncing back and forth. It'll last, you know, last forever until the machinery breaks down. The cool part about it, it's cold fusion.
Wow.
It's 400 times over unity. It is smog free. It's dam-free hydroelectric power.
And it's water. We have plenty of that all over the planet.
Well, that's the thing. The water, there's water everywhere, and you can't drink it.
Right.
So, you know, through his technology, and just if you don't understand what it's basically a water pump that rides the motion of the wave, and it pumps water at an X pressure to do an X thing. So if you want to use it as pushing water through a pipe or liquids, if you want to create power, you push that water at X pressure through a turbine, and then at a little higher pressure, and it can go through a membrane, and
right,
you have fresh water. And then mixed correctly between the two, you can, you know, we have a lot of dead zones created from desalinization. They either pump it out at a solution that's as high as Salt Lake, nothing can live in it, and they have these dead zones, or they throw it on the shore, they create a dead zone there, plants can't live there. And with our tech, if mixed correctly between using the, and mixing the salt water that goes through the turbine as it's going back out, it's mixed correctly, it's like I'm not sure of the number, but when it comes out, it's 98% of what went in.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's truly sustainable, it's truly environmental, and it's just a, you know, we need to clean this planet up, and everybody wants, and they want this, they want that, and here we have something that is truly sustainable, smog-free, and gas and oil-free, but, you know, everyone wants to get rid of gas and oil.
It's never going to go anywhere.
Well, yeah, it is, because, you know, what do you think our makeup products come from?
No,
you're
right.
Them.
We have to have fossil fuels.
They're also
right.
The experts in pipelines, and, you know, they do this for, you know, they've been doing it for years, and they've created some of the best piping in underwater
Because of
systems.
That industry, we now have this industry.
You get rid of them and try to have somebody new, you start from the beginning again. You know?
This is just a new industry is what it is. You know, I always, when someone asks me about this, I use the analogy of the car. We didn't get rid of the blacksmith. We create a new industry. That's what this is.
Look at it this way. We're like the Wright brothers. They created a new science no one understood. And they tore them apart, you know, and it took them years to, you know, implement it.
And now I flew here.
We're a new science.
Right.
And one person one time... He was a mathematician that came in, and Kenny was explaining, you know, and he just says, my head's exploding. I have to unlearn everything I learned just to learn this. And why people get frustrated and walk off in a huff and don't want to learn it. It's that simple.
Well, they're going to learn it. And I love the analogy of the Wright brothers, and I want to congratulate you. I know that it's going to be sooner than later. And I'm proud to be a part of the journey and to get the word out there.
And I appreciate that, and it's just lovely talking with you, Dana.
It's always lovely talking to you, too, Steve. Thank you.
Thank you.